is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Is there peace in the Middle East? It's what President Trump promised less than a week ago when he signed a peace plan for Gaza and Israel. But the ceasefire showed signs of strain this weekend, with Israel launching strikes into Gaza after saying Hamas killed two of its soldiers. Still, Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, who helped broker the plan, says he hopes it holds up from this point forward.
The success or failure of this will be if Israel and this international mechanism is able to create a viable alternative. If they are successful, Hamas will fail, and Gaza will not be a threat to Israel in the future.
He was on 60 Minutes tonight. More from our Deborah Pata with the view from Gaza.
Hospitals once again filled up with the injured as the Israeli military launched strikes they say were aimed at thwarting ceasefire violations by Hamas. And it provided IDF footage they say shows armed Hamas fighters moving towards Israeli troops stationed behind the agreed line.
It took just minutes. Thieves stealing relics thousands of years old from the Louvre Museum in Paris. Our Elizabeth Palmer says one of the stolen items is an emerald set imperial crown that was later found in the street.
The assumption is that the robbers hightailed it out of the gallery so fast to make a getaway on a moped that they dropped the crown as they went. And it was actually found in the street, damaged, but all the pieces were there.
There are no arrests yet. A large focus of this weekend's No Kings protests across the country was the Trump administration's immigration crackdown. Early this morning in Portland, Oregon, officers reportedly used tear gas and pepper spray on a crowd outside the city's ICE facility. Our Camilo Montoyo Galvez is there.
ICE agents at this facility are bracing for what could be another night of protests and clashes with protesters. And this as concerns continue to grow over the tactics employed by federal immigration officials.
We are hearing from a former congressman who ended the week behind bars but begins this week a free man.
In the first interview since his release, George Santos telling CNN State of the Union he's closing the chapter of his
chaotic ball of flame 2 years ago. I was my own worst enemy.
And for that, he's
sorry. I'm sorry to the American people. I'm sorry to the people of the 3rd Congressional District of New York. I'm sorry to the leadership of the Republican Party who invested their time in me.
The former congressman praising the POTUS for his freedom.
I'm very grateful to President Trump.
With no strings attached to his promise of redemption.
This isn't about, you know, glitter stars and glam or going back to Congress.
Amanda Alexander for CBS News, New York.
Sancho served just 3 months of a more than 7-year sentence. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 540 WAUK.
A late night for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here in Phoenix, where the Packers play the Arizona Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. A late arrival, though, last night for Green Bay. The team plane had mechanical problems and was not cleared to fly, so the Packers waited over 5 hours before another plane could arrive from Detroit and take them from Austin Straubel Airport in Green Bay to Phoenix. They didn't take off until 7 o'clock last night, and it's nearly a 4-hour flight. I'll have a recap of today's game coming up later tonight. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers losing to number one ranked Ohio State 34-0. Luke Fickell.
To not find a way to put points on the board will never give us a chance. So we know we have to find a way to be able to do that, and we got to get a hell of a lot better at it.
That's the Badgers head coach, Luke Fickell. Wisconsin on the road next week against number 8th ranked Oregon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 540 WAUK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear and breezy with a low around 41. Windy with lots of sun for Monday, highs near 65. Southwest winds 15 to 20, gusting to 30 at times. Monday night, showers and blustery with a low around 47.
It's 48 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow. On Monday, author Laura Bird will tell us about not one, but two upcoming book festivals around Wisconsin, what they're about, and why you might like to check one out.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allbaugh along Mr. Aaron Dommers, our producer and engineer. Welcome into a TGIF Friday edition, October 17th, 2025. Here, welcome into hour number 2 of the big broadcast, 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock from the home studios at the intersection of State and Fairchild in downtown Madison. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you along. Zomers, let's take a quick look out there on the Sam Davidson street cam. Outside, a beautiful fall afternoon. Hazy sky. It's kind of overcast. A little sun poking through there, but warmer. Warmer than I thought. So, Ohio State, get it right yet, are in town. And we don't have time. I was going to do a segment on this today with the breaking news. The only question for me with Ohio State, number one team in the country, being in town to take on the Badgers, will Ohio State score 50? 5-0. Will they score 50? What's the over-under? Do you take the over or the under at 50?
I take over.
I take over, too! I'm not wishing it, but I'm just saying it's not going to be pretty. I'm afraid here at Camp Randall, but we'll have the game for you on several of our stations across the Civic Media Radio Network on WRCE, WLAK, and Amory RCE, of course, Richland Center, FHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and on WRPN in Ripon. Kickoff time is right around 2:30. This afternoon on several of our Badger radio networks. And, of course, the Brewers, hope still springs eternal, must win tonight. Crew down 0-3, or 3-0, whichever you want to look at it. Out at Chavez Ravine, Dodgers going to try to get the win and the sweep out there in California. So that one starts a little bit later on, the 7 o'clock-ish. Let me see. Let me check my facts here. The Friday game, 7:05 is the first pitch local time here in Wisconsin. Pregame show at 7:38 on our Brewers radio network stations as well. Quickly, top story this afternoon from our newsroom, the University of Wisconsin. This comes from channel3000.com, the CBS affiliate in Madison, University of Wisconsin, Platteville. Will be ceasing operations at its Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd of next year. The decision came after quote-unquote careful consideration and that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout this transition. Again, UW-Platteville Baraboo closed after the end of next year. We'll continue to follow this into next week, of course. But right now at 9 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, lighten it up just a bit. I did a uniform change, a costume change during the break. I put my Green Bay Packers, unlike the Badgers this weekend, I feel good about the Pack. Joining us via his car, driving throughout Wisconsin, one of the stars and producers of the great new film, No Packers, No Life. Once again, here is Ty Morse. Ty, how are you?
Great, Todd. Happy to be here again.
We are absolutely happy to be here. Zomers and I last saw you at the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Majestic Theater, one of the great Marcus Theaters in Waukesha. And not that our 2 cents means a whole lot, but let me tell you, I was blown away by it. I loved it. And I told Craig yesterday, Craig Benzine, the director, that I think for me, two things. A, whichever one of the Japanese cheer team was in the car at night driving by Lambeau right after he'd gotten to Green Bay, and he looks out and he says, I want to live here. And it just, I don't know why, but it just, I was like, I do live here, and I don't think that I look at it through the lens that it should. And to hear him say that, it just got to me.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, and there was so much of that as they came. It was just like this wonder, amazement, magic for them. And I think it helps us through that lens, you know, kind of rediscover, you know, how lucky we are where we live as Wisconsinites, you know.
Just remind people that have not heard this before, what the heck's the matter with you? But very quickly, the synopsis that Ty goes to Japan, meets these Packer fans, this cheer team at an intersection, and ends up discovering this whole new world in Japan. And then you and your buddies bring, what, about 30 of these folks from Japan to Green Bay, to the mecca of football, to Lambeau Field. And it's just enormously moving. One of the things that I haven't asked you yet, Ty, is were you there specifically that time for a separate business? Or what's your connection with Japan beyond the film?
Yeah, I was there for business. I'm there often for business. We manufacture there. We sell products into the Japanese market. I have a joint venture there. Suzuki, who's in the film, is actually one of my business partners. So we do a lot in the health and beauty space, and that's why I was there. But it was actually a day off for us. Mm-hmm. What we called a hanami, where you go and look at the cherry blossoms. You have some drinks. I brought a guitar. We're playing music. We're drinking some whiskey and soda. And we wander down the street to go do some karaoke, go sing some Bon Jovi. And that's where I found these guys. So it was a business trip, but a day off. And the day off rolled into 7 years of making this documentary.
Isn't that how life happens sometimes? The least expected moments, right? Look, the film is fantastic. It's beautiful to look at. It's so meaningful to be able to look at something that we love here in Wisconsin, the Green Bay Packers, and look at it through this lens of this Japanese cheer team, these folks coming here the first time. I know you had an event last night in Mequon with Mason Crosby, who's in the film, incidentally. That's a great, I'm not going to spoil that, but there's a great moment with Mason in there as well that I really liked. But you have an event.
I cried last night again too, Todd. I saw it again. It's
so cool. It's so cool.
Mason's such a great dude in that moment. I mean, that's why people have to get to the theater to see it. They're going to cry when they see that.
I agree with that. But you had an event last night in Mequon. You're going to an event tonight in Green Bay and then an event tomorrow in Madison here. Tell us about these events and how people can participate.
Yeah, there's special screening tonight in Green Bay. Only a few tickets left for that. And only a few tickets tomorrow night in Madison. It will feature the film and then Q&A at the end with myself and the director, Craig Benzine. It's going to be a good time. It just, you know, people should throw on their Packer gear, grab a beer, and just come sit and enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. Those few tickets that are left, you can go to nopackersnolife.com. nopackersnolife.com. Had a couple of people like, is it K-N? No. N-O. NoPackersNoLife.com. And it can also, and then the show opens up today, right, across many theaters in Southeast Wisconsin, Green Bay, Madison, La Crosse.
Statewide today.
And also, I love this, trolling Bears fans in Gurnee, Illinois. And those tickets can be found at Marcus Theaters, theaters spelled TheaterS.com, MarcusTheaters.com. Like you said, Ty, it's experiencing this with other people that I think really makes it special.
Yeah, I think that's what it's about. It's about getting into the theater. I mean, as Wisconsinites, celebrating our heritage, who we are, but also just seeing the passion of these people that have come all the way from the other side of the world to experience our world. And sitting in the theater with other Wisconsinites experiencing that, I mean, it's one of the best times I've ever had in my life. There's it's so much laughing, some crying, but it's such a blast. So I just recommend the best way to see this is to get to a Marcus Theater and just hang out.
Yeah, I totally agree. We saw, for those out there that saw last year that Just a Bit Outside, the Brewers movie, you know what we mean, because when people are cheering together, yelling together, you cannot get that when you're sitting at home alone, you know, which is most of Todd's life. But no, get out and enjoy it with people. Get out and enjoy.
Yeah, there's so much camaraderie. I mean, everybody's right. Laughing in the theater. We just did it last night.
Right.
It's great.
Zombers?
Yeah, especially because it's a movie about community and it portrays it so well. And watching it with everybody really brings you into that and reminds us that we are all, you know, wearing green and gold. We're all Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a unifying film. And the other part about it that was just unexpected for me, Ty, and to hear folks speaking in their native language with the subtitles, I don't know. It's. I don't know why I thought there would be more English in that part of it. Maybe because I'm Americanized. But really, what it reminded me of a lot was the first time I saw Dances with Wolves. And whatever people think about Kevin Costner, he was very deliberate in making sure that the native language was on spoken and English subtitles. And to hear that authenticity on the Japanese side, that meant something to me.
Yeah, I think it's their native language, and their the best way that they can passionately speak about it is in their native language. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, but it's wonderful hearing them speak in Japanese, but then seeing the subtitles, and there's so many great moments that I think the subtitles work so well because they're so eloquently talking about things, and you get to see it right there on screen. It's beautiful.
The other part about it was some of your closest friends and family. And was it your wife or your buddy's wife who was like, okay, I'm bringing three people over, and then it kind of grew. And it's just like...
That was my buddy's wife.
Yeah. And it's just like...
That was hilarious.
Okay, we're going to roll with this. I mean, that was great.
Yeah, it started as three. So, yeah, then it was almost 30. And they all rolled with it. And, you know, I heard somebody else describe it as like, it sounded like a foreign exchange program. Putting them in homes and homestays and
right.
Yeah. But I also think it, like, as Wisconsinites, we're really proud, but I also think that the movie, whether or not you even like football, there's just a really beautiful human element of it. It's people connecting around, you know, any type of passion and then building these deep relationships. And I think that's why the film can speak to more than just Packer fans or people from Wisconsin. And that's why I'm hoping more people come out and see it.
That's a great point, because there's not a lot of quote unquote football footage in this. It really is focused more on the human element of the movie and these relationships and how they grow. And, you know, people come from another country is like, what are we getting into here? And the amount of trust, right? The trust from the Japanese cheer team and the trust from your friends and family to welcome them in. And it's all bound together by it just happens to be this team in green and gold.
Yeah, and you know, for them, that trust, that was a huge leap. From a Japanese perspective, the details were so vague. I mean, they say that in the movie. They planned so much. If you send details a week before you're getting together with people, that is like last minute for them. So the fact that we didn't have an itinerary for them and they were getting on an airplane and just arriving, they really had to just offer themselves up to fate. But as they've all said at this point, it was the best decision they've ever made. So
I think it's great. I really hope people get out and see it. Again, if you want to join Ty and Craig at Green Bay tonight, go to nopackersnolife.com. A handful of tickets left for the event tonight to meet the director and producer and star of the film. And then also here in Madison tomorrow at the High Point Cinema, one of the great Marcus theaters, also nopackersnolife.com. And you can buy your tickets for the statewide release and also in Gurnee, Illinois at MarcusTheaters.com. Again, MarcusTheaters.com. Ty Morse, thank you very much. Safe travels up to Green Bay tonight. Thank you very much for all of your association with us and allowing us to be there at that world premiere. I hope the film does smashingly. Everybody should see it. It is quintessential Wisconsin.
Thanks, Todd. You guys have been so awesome. Really appreciate your support. It's meant a lot to us.
Well, the honor's been ours. And safe travels up to Green Bay. And as they say, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Take care, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye. Ty Morris, everybody. Stay tuned. More on the other side. Take your phone calls and more. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
The Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 22 now, past the hour of 3 o'clock on a Friday, October 17th, 2025. This just hit me, by the way. I believe it's our friend and ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry, Jerry Perry's birthday today.
Really?
I forgot. I kept thinking the 17th of October. What is the 17th of October? And I believe it's Jeff Perry's birthday today.
Well, big if true.
Big if true. Happy birthday, Jeffrey, over there on WVMO. Thank you. There's something wrong with me. I'll describe it later. All right, very quickly, let's go to the phone lines, talk a little bit more about this great new film, No Packers, No Life. Still a few tickets for the screening tonight in Green Bay. Your chance to listen to the filmmakers. Craig Benzine, director, and Ty Morris, producer, star. You can find those tickets at nopackersnolife.com. Also, a screening tomorrow at High Point Cinema here in Madison. Nopackersnolife.com. Anna in La Crosse, listening in.
And Rita in La Crosse. You mix the two.
Oh, I do that. I do that frequently. Sorry, but Rita in La Crosse. I apologize. Anna's next. Rita in La Crosse, tuning in our great station up there. Rita, you saw the film?
We just left the theater. We brought our grandson with us. Steve and I did. And I loved it. I heard about it on your radio station because We listen all the time.
Well, thank you.
It was so good.
It was good. Yeah, did your heart good to see that.
Yeah.
The camaraderie between the Japanese people and they all loved the Packers. It was a great movie.
And just,
everybody loved it in the where we were.
All we need is love, boy.
That's amazing.
And tomorrow we're going to go to the No Kings parade.
Oh, great.
March.
Yeah.
March,
whatever it is. We're going to be marching.
Yeah.
Good
so
for you guys.
I really enjoy your station, and thanks for telling us about that. I think we're probably going to go back and see it again. That's how much we liked it.
Well, thank you for your listenership, Rita. You guys, it means the world to us up there in beautiful La Crosse. And you guys have a great weekend. I think you're right. I mean, Zomers and I saw just a bit outside several times, and you see something new every time, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we went to see that, too, after you guys told us about it.
Well, we try to pass along good information. Well, you guys have a great weekend, all right? Thank you very much for listening to us up there at WLCX, the Eagle, up on La Crosse on 1490 AM, WLCX. Now let's go to Anna here on WMDX in Madison. Anna, thanks for calling. You saw the movie as well?
I, too, just saw it this afternoon at the Palace in Sun Prairie and loved it. There were several times where I got teary-eyed, and especially when one of them met Mason Crosby in person.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
They cheered up, and when they were with their Super Bowl rings getting pictures.
Yeah, it's really
and
cool.
When they first got to Green Bay, and at night, they took them to see, Lambeau Field, and and how they got so excited.
Yeah, it's a special film, Anna. I'm so glad you saw it. Thank you for going and seeing it, and thank you for taking the time to call in and tell us about it. And thanks for listening to us on WMDX. It really means a lot. I appreciate your listenership, Anna.
I listened to you for a long time. You have a great show.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you. And you have a great weekend out there in Sun Prairie, all right?
Okay, you too. Bye
all right,
now.
Thank you. That's Anna on WMDX. Well, there you go, Zomers. I hope that Ty was still listening. Two unsolicited viewers, three actually, I guess, total. And there you go. People going out and seeing the film in the wild, and the reviews are in.
And they're right. That's just what it's like. It's such pure Wisconsin sports joy from all around the world. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it really, really is. All right, it's 27 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. So what do? We don't really have time for a what's worse.
Yeah, how about just the fun fact?
All right, very time once again for our new segment, Wisconsin Fun Fact.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Welcome, Todd, once again for another Wisconsin Fun Fact. All right, that's the official state ballot, by the way. Time for another Wisconsin Fun Fact. It's a brand new segment. We're still working on it, you understand. And it probably should have been at the top of the hour, but we had a lot of other things we had to do. So here now, we're going to give you one of these every day. Wisconsin Fun Fact for October 17th. On October 17th in 1908, the catastrophic Peshtigo Fire reignited again, which reminds me of a 2016 presidential political blaze that reignited again this year because Democrats couldn't put a campfire out right now. You see the correlation. The Peshtigo Fire reignited, and now you got Trump reigniting, and the Democrats couldn't put him out. Couldn't put the campfire out.
What a time.
You can't buy loyalty like that.
Sorry, I was trying to find a good spot in the song to bring in.
All right, this might be a short-lived segment. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, that needs to be workshopped a little bit. But that was another edition of Wisconsin Fun Fact. All right, we're going to come back. It's been much too long since we've talked to our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. But a heavy news week, lots going on. Going to be a heavy weekend. Lots going on. We need to laugh a little bit, folks. Need to laugh. Nothing wrong with that. So we're going to come back, and I will tell you the quick version. I went to the doctor right before the show. Because my glands were swollen. What do you call it? Underneath your chin here, there's a word for it. I'll explain what happened and why this could only happen to me on the other side. And we'll talk week in review, a humorous edition with Peter Rapine. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball edition for a Friday. Thank goodness on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Matinee on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
CBS News Brief. The truce in Gaza faced its first major test after Israel alleged Hamas had violated the ceasefire and hit back with air and artillery strikes. Our Deborah Pattis says both sides are now adhering to that ceasefire for now.
A source close to the negotiations process told CBS News that it's now up to the U.S. to ensure both sides uphold the terms of the ceasefire.
The U.S. announces another strike against what it called a drug-running boat, this time attacking an alleged Colombian rebel boat. Vice President Vance.
We're extremely confident that when we take out one of these boats, it's a boat that would have really terrible poison that would kill tens of thousands of Americans.
A heist of some pricey jewels at the Louvre. Our Elizabeth Palmer with more on France's president.
Earlier this year, he had announced an 800 million euro makeover for the Louvre that was meant in part to secure the collection that's still on the drawing board.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
A late night for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports here in Phoenix, where the Packers play the Arizona Cardinals at State Farm Stadium. A late arrival, though, last night for Green Bay. The team plane had mechanical problems and was not cleared to fly, so the Packers waited over 5 hours before another plane could arrive from Detroit and take them from Austin Straubel Airport in Green Bay to Phoenix. They didn't take off until 7 o'clock last night, and it's nearly a four-hour flight. I'll have a recap of today's game coming up later tonight. College football? The Wisconsin Badgers losing to number one ranked Ohio State 34-0. Luke Fickell.
To not find a way to put points on the board will never give us a chance. So we know we have to find a way to be able to do that, and we got to get a hell of a lot better at it.
That's the Badgers head coach, Luke Fickell. Wisconsin on the road next week against number eighth ranked Oregon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear and breezy with a low around 41. Windy with lots of sun for Monday, highs near 65. Southwest winds 15 to 20, gusting to 30 at times. Monday night, showers and blustery with a low around 47.
It's 48 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trade me. She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Maggie Dawn.
I'm joined by my special guest, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dive into Donald Trump's plan to dispatch the IRS against his enemies and Magic Mike's refusal to seat the newest elected congresswoman. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Have an egg roll, Mr. Goldstone. Have a napkin, have a chopstick, have a chair. Have a spare rib, Mr. Goldstone. Any spare that I can spare, I'll be glad to share.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. A little gypsy music. I will tell you why that's important. But first, we welcome in our friend, our ongoing contributor, the one, the only, the international man of mystery and comedy, Peter Rapine. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing great, Todd. It's been a while.
Much too long. Missed you, too. He is the managing editor of E-Bombs World, and we're going to get into a humorous look at the weekend review in just a moment. But, Peter, it turns out, and we haven't told each other these stories, but apparently we both have doctor stories. So I told at the top that we had some serious news we had to take care of. I haven't been feeling the best this week. What are those the gland called again?
The lymph nodes.
Thank you. My lymph node on my left hand side is all swollen up. Not the back of my throat, but the side of my throat has been like weird. It's been weird. So I thought my voice has been going, which is radio. That's no good. So I finally went to I couldn't see my regular doctor. So I'm a very nice guy. And he examined me and everything. And he says, I think it's a salivary gland stone. Salivary gland stone. I have Peter, I already have kidney stones. Now I have salivary gland stones.
I didn't know that could happen.
I have stones in my kidneys and stones in my neck and my salivary glands. I don't even have time to get stoned. I mean, please. I certainly don't have gold stones. So I said to him, what causes salivary gland stones? And he looks at me quizzically and he says, boy, bad luck. He said, and a full bird MD tells me the cause of my salivary stones are bad luck. And I said, well, what can I do? Medication? No, he goes, you know what I recommend? He goes, get some lemon heads and suck on those. So this is my medication, lemon head ropes from CVS. I haven't even tried
these.
That's
actually not too bad.
Have you had those? Have these before? I'm not a big...
No, but as far as treatments go, just suck on some candy and it is.
Right?
Oh. Could be worse.
This is real. This is real. He goes, I'm going to take a culture just to make sure you don't have like strep throat or something. Mm-hmm. So two big Q-tips. Puts them down. He takes them out. He goes, wow, that's really impressive. You don't have much of a gag reflex.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to say, well, I guess practice makes perfect, but you know. So, Peter, how have you been feeling?
I've been good. Honestly, I walked by a city MD the other day, and I saw a sign for the flu shots, and I know this is the season. So I'm feeling good, but I think I'm going to get ahead of the cold season, get my flu shot, maybe get a booster, make sure I don't get sick this winter. Because I never get one. I always get sick for like 2 weeks, and it sucks. So hopefully this year I get ahead.
Well, that's good. So did you go to the doctor then or what?
No, I haven't done it yet. It was just a thought I had.
you haven't Next gotten week, the maybe. Flu shot
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the flu shot yet, but it's on my list of things to do.
So you anticipate that you will get a flu shot.
Yeah.
But half of this battle, Peter, is just saying, okay, I'm going to do it this year.
Exactly. Yeah, last year I didn't do it, and I was sick all of Halloween. And Halloween's one of my favorite holidays, so I don't want to miss out.
Really? Are you a partier at Halloween, or do you?
Yeah, I love to put on a good costume. I love to go out and dance, and Halloween's kind of the best. It's the best party holiday there is, I think.
Yeah, it's a good time to have by all.
But all right. Funny that you have a doctor story, because I also have a really good doctor headline for us.
All right, here we go. Here's why he's here. Every other week, you can find all these at ebombsworld.com. Real headlines of real people, Peter.
Yes. Headline reads, brain surgeon arrested after letting her 12-year-old daughter drill into a patient's skull.
A brain surgeon arrested after letting her daughter drill into a patient's skull. Do tell.
Which, this doctor is clearly winning as a parent, but they are not winning as a medical practitioner. The accusation is that a neurosurgeon in Austria allowed their daughter to man the drill during a surgery on a patient, which I guess you're not supposed to do. That breaks all the medical codes, all the medical do's and don'ts. But imagine how much fun that 12-year-old had going into work with her mom. And then
take your daughter to work day.
Yeah, and bore a hole in some poor guy's skull.
Wow.
Yeah, so the doctor was fired. And not sure.
So if the doctor, there have been so charges. The doctor was fired.
Yeah, and arrested.
And arrested, really?
So, luckily, your doctor, obviously, you know, wasn't that bad.
No. The doctor was not drilling into my skull. He was very nice. He introduced. He took a lot of time, asked me questions. So, you know, all that's really good. It's just that, yeah, I have stones in my salivary glands. All right, Peter Ray Pine. Next headline.
This comes to us from the world of politics.
All right.
Headline reads: New York County is trying to elect a candidate who disappeared at sea.
Trying to find a candidate disappeared at sea. Do tell.
No. New York County, they're trying to elect a candidate.
Oh, elect. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening because I don't have the headlines in front of me this week. So I'm just going off of what you said, which is fine. But go ahead. No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm trying to do it by memory.
They have been sent to you.
Zahmer sent them to me. I've got kidney stones. I've got salivary stones. Just go ahead. It's totally on me.
So, yeah, a 29-year-old named Petros, I think I'm saying this right? Comedus went out for a swim in the ocean in the springtime and sadly never returned. The only thing is that this guy is on the ballot for a upcoming election. However, since he is still technically missing and not deceased, he can't be taken off the ballot. So the New York County is hoping that as the Democrat running on their ticket, that people still vote for him, which allows them to hold a special election afterwards.
That's fascinating. So a dead guy could actually get elected.
Yeah, technically not dead yet, but missing. But you would assume
dead yet.
If he's been, you know, lost at sea for months now, the likelihood that he is alive is
it could sick. Be like that Tom Hanks film, Wilson.
Or Castaway.
Castaway. What if he comes back and he's like, hey, I got elected?
Yeah, he's like, I won. Great. Right. I've also been out in the Atlantic for months.
All right. Now I have for some reason, now my email is working and I have the headline. So please, Peter, get all these headlines at ebombsworld.com. Peter Rapine, next headline.
So this next one is an investigation into Raising Cane's. The
chicken place. Restaurant,
the chicken place.
It's big with the kids.
Yeah, I assume there are ads everywhere. And the chicken's supposed to be pretty good. I've never had it, but I assume it's good.
Pretty good. I've had it.
I'm a fan.
But so some context. A photo of a bucket of chicken went viral on Twitter this week. And the claim is that Raising Cane's has throwaway chicken tenders that if you ask politely, they will just give you. And these chicken tenders are ones that might have been ugly, might have been, you know, not up to their standard to serve customers. So we did a little investigation and the headline reads, does Raising Cane's have a weird chicken bucket?
Does Raising Cane's
have weird chicken buckets?
Have a weird chicken bucket. This is great. This is one of the best headlines you've ever brought to us because it's news you can use. Please, dear God, tell me it's correct. Tell me this is correct.
Yeah, so they do. Yes. They do have a weird bucket of chicken that they keep under their counter. or somewhere in their kitchen with discarded chicken tenders. However, from people who have worked at Raising Cane's, you do not want to eat these chicken tenders.
Why is that?
Garbage gets in there. It's not very sanitary. It's just a big plastic 3-gallon, 4-gallon bucket filled with the throwaways. So
why do they keep? Why do they put them in the garbage though?
I think they probably wait until the end of the day to do it. It seems like it's just
to keep the line moving
to keep things going. Yeah, there's a photo
on EPOM's world. There is a. If I just scroll down. I'm sorry, Peter. I'm trying to get over salivary gland stones right now. I apologize. It might be better for this segment if I was stoned, but sadly no. Well, then I see the photo now, and it does look kind of nasty.
Yeah. Well, sadly, if you've ever worked in a kitchen, you know there are like food safety standards, and food that's been sitting out at room temperature for more than, I think, 4 hours needs to be discarded. Can't be served to anybody because bacteria can grow on it. So the bucket probably, while contains much free chicken, also contains much of deadly bacteria that you shouldn't eat.
Yeah, please. But it's fantastic that you found out a nice work that it does exist.
It does exist. Yeah.
Like you kind of like low key could be like, if you know somebody, hey, did you just put one of those ugly chicken things in there? Like it's still warm. Like I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah, can I have the one on the top, please?
Right. All right, next headline from EPOM's World, our humorous week in review.
The next headline comes to us from the airline industry. Headline reads, airline industry now saying that fixing its planes would cost too much money.
Airline industry now saying that fixing its planes could cost too much money, as if people aren't anxious enough about flying.
Yeah, seriously. The Federal Aviation Administration basically ruled that it would cost them too much to go through their entire fleet of Boeing 737s and other planes and fix all the little minor dings and dents that they accumulate over their lifespan, which isn't really something that you want to hear as a traveler.
I don't think I do.
No,
like you don't want to know. Yeah, this 737. I mean, it was in for a bad latch of that rear door about three times last month. I don't want to know that.
Yeah, I guess the airlines, they can either spend their money on those cheap little cookies that they give us, or they can spend the money on fixing the planes.
But I love those cheap cookies. The biscuits, or whatever the hell you call them.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I'd rather have the pretzels.
Yeah, those are good too.
If you die in a plane crash, you can't have the cookies or the pretzels.
But I'll be happy going down. I'll have a full stomach. I'll be happy.
Yeah, maybe you could get some lemon heads.
That's exactly what I need right now, some lemon heads. So the moral is don't ask, don't tell. Just get on the plane.
Yeah.
Have an extra gin and tonic and enjoy the flight.
Yeah, get on the plane, say a prayer.
Yep.
And just hope you land. Yeah.
I always do. Actually, I do say a quick prayer before we take off.
See, when I was younger, I wasn't really afraid of flying. And, you know, I've been flying more recently.
Yes.
And I don't mind the being in the air, but I really hate the takeoff. The takeoff is, I think, the scariest part for me because there's a little like back and forth. You turn. Flying, being up there, landing, totally fine. But I'd rather not be awake for.
You ever been one of those like the turbulence is just, I mean, you're just like going really bad.
Yeah.
Those aren't particularly fun.
No. They're not fun.
All right. Next. Oh, that's why we got a minute left here. Let's hold on. We'll come back and do more headlines of Peter Rapine. Very quickly. Relationship's going okay? Everything fine?
Yeah. I'm picking up from the airport tomorrow morning.
Oh. See, this is lovely that Peter is happy. It makes me happy. All right, come on back. More wacky and weird headlines for real people doing weird things. We'll wrap things up for a Friday on the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced, also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2033. At the recombobulation area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg, and you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, what broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with,
sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Could listen to this all night. A drink in my hand, a Manhattan bar sitting next to Peter Rapine and his lovely and talented girlfriend, just watching love and blossom right there. That sounds like a night, Peter. Right there.
It does.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll make that happen at some point. Peter Rapine is our guest this half hour. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World, news of the weird, wacky, wild, and at times spicy. There's a new spicy section. As well. So check it out at EPOM's World. He comes to us every other week with news, the weird, the wild, the wacky. All right, Peter Rapine, headline, next one.
All right, headline reads, there is actually a scientific reason for why cows love jazz.
There's actually a scientific reason of why cows love jazz. Do tell.
So I don't know if you or Zomers have ever seen it, but there are countless videos of people playing jazz for cows on the internet.
I am not.
I saw a recent report in the BBC this week that there's a farm in the UK that regularly brings a small jazz quintet to their farm to play for their cows. And it turns out that the National Institute of Health actually did a study on what the music leanings or preferences of livestock are. And they found that cows, chickens, and pigs prefer jazz music over rock and roll, heavy metal, pop, And it all comes down to the fact that cows specifically have pretty stressful lives. If you think about it, you know, they're caged up, things are loud. Also, you know, the whole being raised for food kind of thing probably isn't, you know, very fun. And so why jazz is so popular is because it's smooth and it relaxes them. They caution that you shouldn't, if you're going to play music for your cows or your pigs or your chickens, you want to choose something with a nice slow tempo. You want to make sure you don't play it too loudly.
Okay.
Because if you do all that, the cows will love it. And it's pretty proven.
So like Miles Davis in the barn. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, Miles Davis in the barn. Exactly.
Maybe not the fast bebop tunes I was playing earlier, but something chill.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to get Farm Director Pam Yonke on this. And I love everything about this, Peter. And the fact that they actually did this and found out what they like. And you're right. Cows do have kind of a stress. Yeah. They have four stomachs. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah. Is that crazy?
I think it helps them digest all the grass that they eat. but actually, I do have a personal anecdote. I had a friend in college who did a study for a class of his where he played music for animals. And the control group where he played heavy metal to mice, they all sadly passed away.
Really? Wait a minute. They played heavy metal for mice and they all passed away?
Yeah. They started like losing their hair and kind of going crazy.
This is Fowler. Very quickly, we have a caller, Mike in Spring Green, listening to WRCE. Quickly, Mike, tell us this. This is fantastic. Go ahead, Mike.
I have video proof of cows liking bluegrass music because I went out in the field and played my banjo and they all came up and checked it out.
Really? You've done this in the wild?
It's on YouTube, so I have proof.
That's fantastic. I appreciate that, Mike. We'll talk about it at greater length later. Have a great weekend out there in Spring Green. There you go, Peter. Live reporting of just solidifying your great reporting. That ranks up there at one of the better headlines ever. All right, next headline.
Next one is fast food. Arby's is being sued for false advertising because their sandwiches look nothing like the pictures. If you've ever been to Arby's and if you've ever seen an Arby's ad, you know there is a giant gap between what you advertise and what you get. And a judge this week actually ruled that a class action lawsuit against the brand can go forward because what you're being advertised and what you get is so far apart. Part of the lawsuit even notes that Arby's in their photos depicts like medium rare or like rare roast beef when in reality it's fully cooked.
I'm laughing because it's 100% true. It's 100%. When you go to Arby's, it's always like this brownish meat. You know, it's never like the pink, and fluffy layers and everything like that.
It's pretty sad. Some of my mom loved Arby's growing up.
I've got nothing against Arby's. But I'm just saying, you're 100% right. The real thing never matches the picture. And wasn't there a Sesame Street bit back in the day of like, you know, that waiter Muppet, you know, and the guy going, that doesn't look like the soup I ordered.
I'm not familiar with it.
No. That's pretty good. All right, go ahead. Next headline.
Next headline reads, this might be one of my favorites. There could be a billion people unaccounted for on Earth.
What? There could be a billion people unaccounted for on Earth. Where the heck are they hiding?
I know. That's what I'm saying. So estimates say currently there's like 8.2 billion people on Earth. But a recent study published in Nature Communications estimates that rural populations get undercounted in censuses. One of the examples they cite is that in 2012, Paraguay had a census that completely missed a quarter of the population. So if you extrapolate this for around the globe, because roughly 40% of the world's population lives in rural areas, and they estimate that these areas are undercounted by 54 to 84%, that there might just be an extra billion people out there that aren't on the record books.
No wonder traffic was so bad coming into work today.
It really was.
Do you have another quick one, or should we end it there?
Quick one. One third of Gen Z singles say they only date for the free meals.
Gen Z only dating for the free meals. They don't care about the the whoopee afterwards. They just want the
times
free
are
meals.
Tough, Todd.
Times are tough. Peter Rapine, you're fantastic. You can find all these stories at E-Bombs World. Zomers, Craig Benzine, Ty Morris, and everybody else. Thanks for a great week. Relax. Stay safe out there this weekend. Peter, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging that drum.
We're a civic media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Matt Piper. We are hearing from the top U.S. negotiators of the Israel-Hamas peace plan for the first time. President Trump's Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff and his son-in-law Jared Kushner. They are dealmakers who came up through the world of New York real estate. They spoke to our Leslie Stahl for tonight's 60 Minutes.
Hamas's worst nightmare in the deal would be that Israel withdrew to the agreed-upon line. Hamas released all the hostages. And then once that occurred, Israel just resumed the war and went back to going after them.
To reassure Hamas, President Trump gave Kushner and Witkoff permission to talk directly with the terrorists, a big break with diplomatic protocol. On October 8th, the two landed in Egypt to deliver a message from President Trump to Al-Haya, Hamas's top negotiator.
The president said, "We will stand behind this deal. We will not allow the terms of this